Welcome, everyone. This is Higher Discourse. This is the show where we talk about the infinite positive possibilities of our shared future and what's holding us back. This episode is an audio diary about manipulation immunity. Let's talk about it. With this particular audio diary, someone commented on my podcast and they said they enjoyed it, but they also said, and they cautioned me that, you know, if I'm not careful with my words, that there could be a bad faith interpretation like taken from or extracted from much of what I'm saying. You know, and I replied to them that that's entirely, you know, common for people to do. You know, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do to have a intentionally bad faith interpretation of someone's words, but it sort of comes with the territory of sharing your opinions publicly. But anyway, I went on to tell them that, you know, it's so common for us in general to sort of have these bad faith interpretations of what other people are saying, and then spread those bad faith interpretations to other people. And then those other people believe it, and it becomes this sort of contagion, right? Anyway, the conversation evolved into the broader topic of manipulation and the way we are sort of guided into thinking and believing certain things, whether they're true or not. And we're guided and convinced into believing things about certain people, about certain people's opinions and viewpoints and feelings. And it becomes this sort of tornado of misunderstandings, misinterpretations, and manipulation. So after that conversation was over, obviously it still had the gears turning in my head about manipulation in general, and that's where this particular audio diary came from. That being said, let me also add a small audio quality disclaimer here. When I make these audio diaries, they're not usually the best audio quality. So I did the best I could to clean it up. So any of you audiophiles who might be listening with particularly good headphones or speakers, I did the best I could to clean up this audio, and what I have here is far better, worlds better than what it was than the original audio. So, just a heads up and a warning there, just a quick audio quality disclaimer. Anyway, with that being said, here's the audio. And the reality is that people will still be manipulated. There is no real final answer to those in power and those of a lot of influence and those who do the choosing and deciding of what goes on television and what doesn't, what angles stories get told by and what angles they don't get told by, right? This person who did wrong or this person who died. I mean, what picture do we show to show the world who this person was? Because a picture is worth a thousand words. Do we show a good, healthy, honest picture of them looking all happy and sweet? Or do we show a photo of them with their family on a cookout throwing up gang signs with whatever? You know, like there are people who make these choices. It's not like these are the only pictures that people can find of these individuals. You know, they are making active choices of what pictures to display. So in a lot of ways, people are always going to be manipulated. People are always going to be manipulated by those who
control the content they consume, right? Like, in a way, you can think of a cook as manipulating my body and nutritional balance in my body. And why are they able to do that? It's because I've submitted myself to that plate of food they're going to bring to me. And it's important to make sure that plate of food is nutritious, right? It's important to make sure that it's not poisoned, to make sure that it's not, you know, unhealthy, et cetera, et cetera. But in one way or another, the point I'm getting at there is that they control the content. And therefore, if I've already submitted myself to consume it, then they are in control of what is about to go into my body. I've removed myself after the authorization. Once I said, hey, I'm going to consume what you cook. Well, then at the end of the day, I've gone ahead and decided that whatever the fuck they cook is going to go into my body and become a part of my physical being. And our minds are no different. If we decide to turn on XYZ channel and we decide to consume the content, we are giving them license to manipulate us. And it's unfortunate that that's the reality of what it means to be a human being, actually. You know, it's not like we can never be manipulated. I think that in a lot of cases, it's reasonable to philosophically debate what manipulation even means, because in a way, we're all manipulating each other. You know, when we make eye contact versus not making eye contact, when we share a smile while we're walking down the street and we don't know each other and we just give each other a smile, or we don't, right? We're manipulating each other's moods, each other's thoughts. It's a philosophical debate to be had that all human interaction is manipulation. But manipulation, at least colloquially, has a much more negative connotation to it. So obviously, when I say it, I'm not talking about the intense sort of philosophical debate of what manipulation means. I'm referring most often to the colloquial sort of negative connotation word, manipulation. Not complicated at all when it comes to what it means. The most basic average ass understanding of manipulation is a negative thing. And so that's what I'm talking about. And I think that in a lot of ways, this is really hard to avoid that type of manipulation, because there will always be people who you are unwittingly submitting your consumption to. You're giving license to consume whatever the hell they're spouting. In a lot of cases, that's television. In a lot of cases, that's ads. In a lot of cases, that's so-called news, right? And this is something that's happening all the time. And so, unfortunately, you know, I just saw something the other day on the television at work. You know, this dude killed his entire family, his kids and his wife. And, you know, what picture do they show of him? They showed a picture of somebody that looked like a victim. I was like, oh man, did this dude die? But then I'm like listening to the lady, and she's like talking about how, no, this dude is the dude that killed his fucking entire family. You know, because the picture was like one of those school photos. You know, you got the background in the background, like put up on a green screen or some shit. You got like, he's smiling right into the camera, sitting on a stool. It was like, damn, bro, is this like a faculty and staff photo at a school? Is this a you know, attorney headshot? Like, what is this? What, you looking like a model right now, smiling at the camera, looking good, well lit, groomed and like photoshopped to get cleaned up. Like, this is a beautiful photo of a human being. What is this? And they're talking about someone who just murdered his entire family. You know, now the point I'm getting at is that, you know, somebody had to choose to show that photo of him, because the mugshot already existed. And I know this because of the nature of what he'd done and a different channel that was playing at a different time, they showed the mugshot of him looking real rough, looking real ugly, looking real murderous. But this first channel showed this fucking fabulous photo of this man that looks like the kind of photo that you show people when you're trying to get hired for a job, you know, like an acting gig or something. Like it was a headshot. It was a beautiful fucking photo. And I'm like, God damn. And this is a murderer. So who chose? So again, there's a manipulation going on, and it's subtle. It's no more, you know, it's no more pronounced than the vitamin C in that last meal you had. You weren't thinking about it. You weren't thinking about the vitamin C in the last meal you had. You weren't thinking about the zinc and fucking vitamin D. You weren't thinking about it. It was in there, but it was subtle to the point where your body was not concerned with the taste of vitamin C, the flavor of zinc, the texture of vitamin D. It was completely consumed by something else. You just enjoyed the meal last time you ate. And these little subtleties inside the meal were there, and they definitely mattered, but psychologically, they slipped past your notice. And I think that we do the same exact thing with the media we consume. And these subtle choices that these people make, you know, these subtle choices that these people make because they're in the position to make these decisions. It's not that they're all powerful gods among men, but they do wield a crazy amount of power in that they control and make choices and decisions when it comes to the content that our minds then consume. No different from the chef I mentioned earlier. He or she is in 100% control of what goes into and what comprises and all the ingredients and the nutritional value and the taste of this meal they're preparing. And as soon as you tell yourself, I'm going to consume this meal, you're telling yourself you are going to take into your body all of the things and all of the choices that this chef made in the kitchen. And like I said, that's why it's important to be extremely careful and extremely skeptical and extremely standoffish. You know, you have to be very defensive of your own mind when it comes to the content you consume. We've got to be careful. It's not that we've got to be paranoid and walk around just distrusting everybody, but it's like having a constant defense system up. Having a constant wariness and questioning those you trust the most. Whomever you trust the most, question them the most. Challenge the logic the most. Dissect the logic the most. I mean, it's not easy because you just want to relax your brain and trust, but that's kind of the problem because once that chef has prepared whatever he's prepared, and if you just constantly trust the chef, then... You don't actually know what's going into these dishes and what's going into these meals and these plates and these preparations anymore. You just trust, and that blind trust will lead to you not really thinking for yourself and just being whomever the chef wants you to be. Do they want you to be fat? Do they want you to be healthy? Do they want you to be, you know, diabetic? What does the chef want? You know, at that point, once you turn over that full and complete trust to the chef, it's up to the chef how healthy you are. And I think that that's in general just, you know, I suppose you could say irresponsible when it comes to how you take care of and protect yourself. And then the same thing is with the immune system. Just because John Doe over there got exposed to a nasty bacteria and his body learned it and overcame it and became immunized to it, that does not mean that I am now immune to it as well, just because John Doe over there across the street is immune to it. My body and my immune system have to, in a way, reinvent the wheel. I've got to be exposed. I've got to learn and examine that bacteria, and my body has to adapt to it. And I think that because we are not really just immune on our own, and we're certainly not immune to manipulation because somebody else became immune to it, because somebody else did the hard critical thinking and the self-challenging and the, what's the word I'm looking for? The sort of controlled skepticism. I'm talking about of those you trust most. That's the important part. It's easy to distrust those you don't trust. That's like waking up every day and blinking. I mean, it's not even something you think about. It's more important that we drive our efforts toward those we trust the most, that we trust the most, the institutions we trust the most, the channels we trust the most. We need to be doing the work of truly being skeptical of everything they say and everything they're saying, every reason they're saying it, right? All of the everything that they produce, every ounce of food that those chefs prepare, we need to be skeptical and dissecting it and even risk letting it get cold and on the plate to be absolutely sure that it's exactly what we want it to be before we consume it. And then eventually maybe we don't even consume it, but that's advanced skepticism. But I think that it's important that we remember that that's not something someone can do for us. There's no, just because someone else is immune to all of these bullshit news channels, someone else has developed a psychological immunity to the manipulation of these bullshit fucking institutions. It doesn't help you. I mean, just because John Doe did it, it doesn't carry over to you. You've got to do this work yourself. You've got to reinvent the wheel inside your own psychology, just as your immune system reinvents the wheel in your own biology. There's, you know, no real value to John Doe gaining an immunity to this thing and having this permanent defense that he now walks around with. There's no value to you and your immune system. You can still succumb to this bacteria that's floating about. So it's important for you as an individual to recognize you are the only one responsible to do this work for your own psychology. You have to be the one that builds up that manipulation immunity, because no one else will do it for you, because no one else can. And you can hear people all day long talk shit about your most trusted channels and your most trusted institutions. And you can sit there and just be like, oh no, I love this chef. This chef is the best. I'm not listening to you, blah, 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 blah. The food he prepares for me is delicious. And it's like, well, yeah, it's delicious to your tongue, sure, when you immediately taste it, but are you questioning its nutritional value? Are you questioning its long-time effects, you know, its long-time health concerns, right? This chef is making you donuts and cookies and ice cream, but are you truly questioning? Yeah, it tastes delicious, but are you truly questioning the value inside and the long-term effects it has on you and your heart and your mind and your everything, right? You got diabetes and all this other stuff that is a huge risk for consuming that type of content. And the mind is no different, you know? And I think that a lot of people, we consume the junk food of news, of the news institutions and cable networks, and we consume this junk and we are shocked that we end up the way we end up. And I think, like I said, you know, it's important to remember that this is not a work that you could get done for you. You can't go into a shop and say, here's $50, make me immune to bullshit manipulation coming from these news networks, you know? You can't, nobody can do that for you. You're going to have to build that immunity yourself. And that's going to come from a diligent practice of self-questioning and self-challenging. And it's going to come from a diligent practice of taking those you trust the most and questioning them the hardest, challenging their logic the hardest, dissecting it the most, researching it with the intent of disproving it, not proving it. You know, sometimes it's too easy for us to look around and say, well, let me research what they're saying and fact check so I can prove it right. Well, you're going to find things to prove it right. That's how human beings are. It's called confirmation bias. things will always prove right. But can you make a practice, an internal practice of seeking to prove them wrong, looking for the data that contradicts what they're saying? It's a challenge, and it's only something you can do, and only for yourself. It won't even help you help your neighbor. It won't help you help your spouse. It won't help you help your friends. This is something that only you can do, and you can only do it for you, building that immunity to manipulation. And it's hard, but goddamn, it's worth it. It's worth it. You know, it's like, you know, being able to walk into a room full of sick, coughing people and know for a fact you won't catch what it is because you already had it. You already beat it, you know? And that's the kind of immunity we need to build toward this sort of constant manipulation, constantly going on all the time. Every time you turn on social media, every time you turn on the television, every time you swipe and scroll, it's there and it's always happening. And so essentially what I'm getting at there is that just like that immune system, we have to do this work ourselves. This is not something that we could ask some external source or force to accomplish. And it's not something we could wait around and just say, oh, yeah, well, I'm just fine. I'm not manipulated at all. It's those other stupid idiots that are manipulated. Well, you just prove that you're highly manipulated. If you think it's those other idiots that are manipulated, you're failing to see yourself in the mirror as you say it. Because even those you trust most are manipulating you. That's just what is happening. Like, that's what these big institutions do. Everywhere along the way, they're making choices. And that's what's important to remember. And like I said, even if it's subtle choices, like a chef choosing how much vitamin C is going in that next meal of yours, even if it's subtle choices, it's choices. And I think that the quicker we remember things like that, the better off we'll be, and the more, defended we'll be. Well, the more defensible we'll be. There's too much that we need to do, and how, and there's too much that we need to understand moving forward to submit ourselves freely to go, you know, getting manipulated without challenging some of these most trusted sources. Because I think that the manipulation is something we just sort of roll over with. We just sort of lay down. And I think that we need to build up that immunity and be ready to sort of resist these influences, because we are leaving it too freely up to the chef what we consume in the meals they prepare. And I don't think that that's necessarily wise. I think in any other context, people would be like, actually, something's wrong with that. You know, something's not right here. And I think like it would be obvious to us that we were doing something stupid if we just walked into a restaurant that had no name, sat down in a restaurant that had no menu, and then they said, hey, the chef is going to, you know, prepare your meal and bring it out soon. And then we just sit down and we wait, and then bam, we get brought a meal, and it's like a banquet. It's a full course meal. We don't pay for it. It's free. You know what I'm saying? We don't pay for the meal. It's completely free. All we know is that we sit down and enjoy it, and they just bring an endless amount of it. There's nothing wrong with this picture at all, you know? And it's one of those things, you know, it's one of those things like people say about Facebook, you know, that if Facebook is free, that means you are the product. And I mean, people don't question their fucking cable news channels at all, bringing them an endless smorgasbord banquet of endless proportions, just constantly new entire dishes and plates and meals and things are brought to this table for just us. And we're told, hey, you know, go ahead, it's free. And you don't have to order anything. We'll order it for you. We'll bring it all to you. We'll just shove it in your face and ask you to eat it. If this were a real thing in a restaurant, people would question it. People would question the motives of a restaurant that didn't charge anything, of a chef that asked for nothing in return and gave me stuff of incredible value endlessly for free. What are they getting in return? Why are they doing this? And I think that if we ask ourselves from that perspective as a person just walking into a free restaurant, in fact, I think we'd all react with a little bit of skepticism in that case. You mean to tell me I can walk in here anytime I want and just be straight up fed for free anytime I want? And I don't mean one plate. I mean an endless arrangement of multiple large banquet-like meals, like just huge kind of massive banquet kind of meal. More than I can even eat. Like I literally just run out of room in my stomach and have to stand up and walk out, you know, and all you can eat for free kind of place. What's the real quality of the food I'm eating? What's the real value of the food I'm eating? What's the health and danger of the food I'm eating? We're not asking those questions because we see it as normal life. We think of it as completely normal life to flip on the television, tune into this endless news, and just start consuming what we assume is valuable information. And then we have our fill and eventually turn it off and go to sleep or go to work or whatever the fuck we do with our lives. And we never question that because that's just how we've always lived. That's just how life's always been. But even now with like social media, we question, well, what's the real value of giving me this endless content for free? Oh, I see. I'm the fucking product. I'm the target. That's why it's free for me. And so we're starting to realize those issues with social media, but we don't realize those same truths, those same concerns are true for your fucking news, true for your cable news networks. Like the people you're consuming your fucking news from, you are the goddamn product. Okay. This is a massive amount of control you're giving the chef. And without questioning that, you wake up one day fat and you don't realize it's because of all the ice cream, donuts, cookies, pizza, and chips the fucking chef was bringing out to you. That was free. All it cost you was your health, right? How many old fables have we looked at where there is some innocent kids brought into some fucking domain and fed endlessly and by some big old witch who's just like happy to feed them a bunch of food for free and the kids are happy to eat it. Well, in reality, she's fattening them up. She's fattening them up because she's going to eat them. And at the end of the day, you've got to build up an immunity. What is this story trying to make me feel? Like when I read a book, a fantasy novel, you can tell what's this moment trying to make me feel. This person just died. It's trying to make me feel hurt and sad. This bad guy who killed him is doing this fucking dance right now. So this moment is trying to make me angry. This moment in the book is trying to make me feel something. What is it? If you look at a movie, like fucking any movie, right? But let's say like Marvel, fucking the Avengers Endgame. And there's a character dying or there's a character fading into dust slowly, right? Whatever, right? You know, this moment right now, this story, this movie is trying to make me feel something. What is it? In most cases, we don't think that way because we've allowed ourselves to just let go and be fully immersed in the story. Whatever it's going to let us feel, we just let ourselves feel it. Just like sitting down to that table to consume whatever the chef cooks, you've already signed off that you're just ready for whatever the chef brings. And when you go into a movie, you're already signing off on that contract. Hey, I'm going to go wherever this movie takes me. I'm ready to immerse myself in this story. And I'm down with that. Whatever the directors did, whatever the writers did, whatever the actors did, I'm going to go ahead and submit myself to them. And I'm just ready to enjoy this movie. And in so many cases, it's the most innocent thing that we do. It's just us trying to enjoy ourselves. But in the end, it's not immersive to stop ourselves and say, hey, I'm watching a movie right now. It's not real. It's a fiction. What's the director trying to make me feel right now? Like, this sort of analytical mind is not something that we take, that we do naturally. It breaks us out of the immersion that we went there for. Like, that's the whole fucking point. And when you go and sit down for a meal, just like the whole point of going to a movie is to immerse yourself. When you sit down for a meal, the whole point is to just taste it and enjoy. You're not worrying about the analytics of vitamin D and vitamin C and all this stuff inside the meal and things like that. Does it taste good or does it not? Right? And so I think that in so many ways, it's even harder for us when it comes to the news, when it comes to the television and the content we consume, to be in that analytical place. I think in so many ways, we remain in that sort of immersion state, constantly seeking to just lose ourselves in that meal the chef prepared, lose ourselves in that movie that the director and the actors and the writers and the crew members prepared, right? Like, we're just looking to immerse ourselves. So when we turn on our most trusted news and our most trusted information sources, and when we read those articles and things, we're literally still in that immersion state. We're just seeking to immerse ourselves in something we've just handed over our trust to. And I think it's such an sort of, I guess, it's not a reflex. It's the, you know, this sort of, we don't have a habit of doing it. You know, this manual overdrive to reverse the car in the middle of the highway, you know, and sort of start thinking analytically about something we were specifically trying to immerse ourselves in. We are looking for that brain relaxed state where we don't have to think. We just want to immerse ourselves into that trusted place and follow along with that fun or whatever story. And I think that in so many cases, we fall prey to a lot of real and serious things trying to do that same thing of immersion. And I think we have to work harder to not immerse ourselves in the news, to have that analytical mind within us all constantly turned on and questioning. And not falling into that immersion state, that cognitive ease, as they call it. Let me look that up real quick. Verify I'm not wrong. Cognitive ease. There it is. Had to do cognitive E to get it to say it. Cognitive ease or fluency is the measure of how easy it is for our brains to process information. Cognitive ease principle reveals that when people have to switch to the second system of thinking causing cognitive strain, they become more vigilant and suspicious. And so that's what we need to do. We need to fight the cognitive ease when it comes to the news we consume and the information about the world, the information about each other. When it's a movie, a total fiction, that's safe. You know, have fun at the movies, you know? But like, you know, when it's a book or something, a fantasy novel, a work of fiction, that's safe. You know, be relaxed. Enjoy each other. Enjoy the story the author wrote. I mean, that's fun. But the danger is when we are being told that this is the real world. That's the problem with the news. We're in a cognitive ease state. We're in that immersion state where we're not looking to challenge what we're hearing or what we're seeing. And that's the most dangerous, when what we're looking at or hearing is being presented to us as if this is the real world we're showing you. These are real people we're showing you. These are real events we're showing you. this is reality we're showing you. And that is so dangerous, because if this false manipulated thing is what we're being presented to illustrate, air quotes, illustrate reality, then our sense of reality is going to easily, therefore, become distorted. And if we don't constantly challenge that distortion as it's attempting to occur, then we're going to have a distorted sense of reality, and we're going to walk around with a chip on our shoulder because of a world that's not even real. We're not going to trust our neighbors. We're not going to trust, you know, regular everyday folks like ourselves. We're going to be angry and dissatisfied and pissed off at the wrong things. And we're going to try to solve problems that aren't even real problems. We're going to try to break things that are fixed, that are fine. We're going to try to fix things that aren't broken. We're going to try to vote for people who won't change anything. We're going to keep on following these cycles because we are the product. The results they want out of the stories they put on television, they are getting. And it's because of us. It's because too many of us aren't doing the work of building that sort of immunity to the manipulations that are certainly unavoidably there.
All right. That's it for this episode. I do like to keep these audio diary episodes as short and sweet as possible, so I don't want to add too much. But I think I do still have much more to say on this topic, so it'll probably be a future episode where I'm just talking about this issue, because I do have a lot more to say on it. Anyway, with that out of the way, I hope this episode has been of some value to you. I want to thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.